Real quick though, let's talk about resumes, do's and don'ts.
The main one that cracks me up is, why are y'all putting your address on the resume? Why? I literally want to know. I had someone provide, and this is outside of resumes, but it's still like with cover letters. She had a 5-page cover letter. What are you possibly talking about?
I'm surprised you didn't touch on saying I on a resume.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Please don't say I. Don't say I am a proficient, I am a dedicated, I am a hardworking.
Take all them things off.
You can prove that
in the interview. You don't got to tell them about your hardworking, troubleshooting, collaboration skills.
Or aspiring. Don't say aspiring. Right. Also, don't say seeking opportunities in your resume summary.
That's not even a hot take no more, but we don't even use summaries anymore. If you got a lot of experience, I'll give you a career highlights where we can talk about highlights related to the role or roles you apply to, but summaries are like a waste of time for people who have a lot of experience.
Are you interested in starting your career in the cloud? Well, if that's you, then I got some for you. Level Up in Tech is a comprehensive 24-week program guaranteed to help you land a high-paying role in the cloud. Some of the skills that they teach you in Level Up in Tech are server config and troubleshooting, AWS, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, scripting, containerization, and more. Level Up in Tech has helped over 800 people start their career in the cloud. So, if you're interested in the program, click the link in my bio, click under Tech Resources, and click on Start Your Cloud Career.
So I was watching some of your other interviews, and since you was talking about being a writer, and I think you still got a time to be a writer. I don't want to say you're not going to be a writer. So what I want to ask you is, what is your favorite book?
Honestly, I don't know. Because when I was younger, I like this book called A Lost Boy, and it was about a little kid looking to find his father on his like music journey. He knew that his dad was a jazz musician, and he was in an orphanage, and he just saw this flyer. That's all he had in his suitcase from home to home that he was going to, and it was like very inspirational for such a young kid to have this just one little piece of guidance to find his father. And eventually he did. He kept going to all the like jazz festivals and music productions to look for his dad. And then he eventually found him. It took, of course, some years. He was like 7, and he used to tell all his foster parents to make sure that he could still go see any music industry people playing. And then he wound up finding him around like 15 years old.
Okay. That sounds like an interesting book. I can't tell you what's my favorite book. I read so many as a child, and a couple of my adult life, I'm busier. So now sometimes if I can't read them, I listen to audiobooks. I think in high school, I started getting into like the black authors. So I used to read like most of the books my mom had in there, with like Eric Jerome Dickey or Carl Weber's, like really like my favorite. Carl Weber, Travis Hunter, I think that was like my 3 fave writers. I did read Midnight in high school. That book was like this big.
Really?
Yeah, I read Midnight in high school. It was funny. It was like, it's crazy. I don't know if I was bringing it to school or not. My friend at the time, she said she was trying to get into it, but she couldn't. I was like, we got to just keep reading this. It's a slow burn for the book. But let me get some gunshots real quick. Now that I woke y'all up, welcome back to the Technical Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Ace Deems, episode 105. And yeah, man, I got a good guest for you guys today. Her name is Erica Thomas, aka The Resume Bay. I know you've probably seen her on LinkedIn or Instagram or some of the podcasts on YouTube. But today she came to rock with us, and we're going to talk about her journey and what made her start Resume Bay University. But without further ado, let's give her a round of applause real quick. Hey, Erica, how's it going today?
Good. How are you, Henry?
I'm good, even though it's actually Henry, but I'll let you slide the first time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. But so earlier you guys heard us, we were talking about books, and that's going to correlate into the questions I'm going to ask her, because anybody knows most of the time you have writers and you have people that can also write resumes, and she just happens to be both. But Erica, how about you tell our listeners and our audience a little bit about yourself?
Of course, I am Erica, aka Resume Bay, now known as Coach Bay. I, one, of course, am a mom, so that comes before any industry desire that I have. And outside of being a mom, I am an advocate for career growth. Have worked in several different industries in the past. So now being able to help people in redirection and rebranding, it definitely is a part of my passion and a part of my own journey to continue to see people, especially people of color, to get where they desire to be.
Okay, great. Where are you from?
I am from Philly, the 215, better known for cheesesteaks and pretzels and our famous water ice.
Okay. You from like North Philly? What part of Philly are you from?
Yeah, I would say North Philly, like Fairmount area where the art museum is and the zoo, right in between those two. Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that you was an extra in the Fat Albert movie when they was dancing in the mall. Is that true?
No. No, I wish. That's when I think that movie came out before I was even born.
No, it didn't. We are the...
The Fat Albert? The original
one? The movie. The one they did when we were younger. Like, we was like middle school.
Oh.
With Kyla Pratt and Keenan and all them. Omarion. All them was in the movie.
Oh, yes. That one. Yeah, I probably had to be around like 10, 11.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We was all around the same age. I just threw something to see if it's going to stick, if you actually remember the movie or not. I just was watching it last night. It's one of my favorite movies, actually.
Yeah, that's an oldie for sure.
Yeah, it's almost 20 years old.
Wow.
It made me feel like an old head.
That would make sense. That would make sense, yeah, if I was around like 10. So, yeah.
What are some random things about yourself? Like, just random that no one probably would ever put together with you.
I'm left-handed. I don't know how to swim. And I've never tasted oysters. I know that's like the new wave, especially like in Atlanta and stuff. So if I had to think, those are like some three that people really wouldn't know.
Speaking of Atlanta, you're actually going down there pretty soon. So are you going to be like the girl? Are you going to order like 40 oysters on a date?
I'm nervous, honestly. I saw that video and I was like, damn, the way she was eating those definitely seemed appealing and interesting, but I don't know. I'll let you know. Interesting. I'll let you know. Maybe I'll do a little trial. I'll start off with 5. I'm always down to try, so at least I'll try and let y'all know.
Okay. Real quick, we'll begin to your early life. So, early career. Let's talk about after high school. Yeah. Did you go to college? Did you do a boot camp? What did you do?
Honestly, I felt like I did any and everything. I applied for colleges, did the standard application process, and I got into some, but I didn't actually go forth with it. And I wound up taking a shortcut and doing medical assistant school back in like when Lincoln Tech was a thing. I did complete that, graduated from that, and worked in that field for a little while. And that was around between, I want to say 19 to like 21, 22, then decided to see what other jobs were out there and get into the more like call center corporate world. So I got my first big girl job at 23 when I moved to Baltimore and started working at Comcast. So that was like the start of my corporate career, being in the call center and environment of what do I want to do with myself.
Cool. What were you doing at Comcast?
I started out as typical tech support, fixing cable boxes, sending out technicians, making appointments, helping people with their bills. What else did I do? I feel like I've done everything. Did escalations. It really helped prepare me for like crazy situations like life, honestly, because I was such sheltered and not really knowing how to handle crazy, tough situations. So working there, honestly, to be honest, my first day of training, like when we got to be on the phones and take our first calls, I got cursed out and I cried. Like after the call was over, I literally went in the hallway and I cried to my supervisor, like, what the heck is going on? That's not me. I'm like, it's not my fault. Like that their cable is not working and your bill is high. So once I jump started in that industry, I was like, okay, what's up? What else is out there for me?
Yeah. And actually I want to let anybody know that does a role like that type of call support, call center work. This is the first thing you got to realize. The people are not necessarily mad at you. They mad that their bill or something is high and they don't know what's going on with it or something's not working. If you can keep that in the forefront, you'll probably be able to diffuse most situations. I ain't gonna say all, but most situations with customers. If not, escalate, send it to somebody else. I'm like, hey, I was just sending it. Look, I did what I could. They were still mad. You're gonna be mad. I ain't do it. Whatever you clicked on, that's what you paid for. So I've been through that. I believe there's always the misconception of people doing those type of jobs or people looking down on them and not realizing how much they help the business. Listen, y'all talk down so much on help desk or call centers that they outsource to the people that don't even speak English anymore. So you really be pissed off more now because you don't understand the people talking about. They don't understand what you're saying. I hate that.
And there also, when you ask for a supervisor, just know you're really not talking to a supervisor. You're just talking to one of our friends who's been there a little bit longer than us and know how to handle escalations. Because I was like only there for 6 months and they were like, Erica, I need you to take this escalation. Because at that point, 6 months in the call center, you're like a veteran.
That's about
because that turnover rate is so crazy.
Yeah, that's
so.
We just actually used to use like supervisors because it's like, hey, sometimes they got the authority to, because you can, they could used to look, could look them up because we used to work for TA. That was one of the things that
for us. But there's definitely been actual supervisors to like overrides and stuff, but like little silly calls of, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to a supervisor. Yeah. It's just me. I just switch up my voice a little bit, especially if I couldn't find anybody. Oh yeah. You're going to go on mute for about 30 seconds and I'm going to come back and say, oh my goodness, I am so sorry about the issues that you're having. How can I help you? Yes, I will absolutely talk with Erica and see how the next caller can be treated a little bit fairly if you felt like things were unfair for you.
You really could do, like, I just thought about something you could do to boom your TikTok out. You can go live and do NPC call center stuff.
Yes.
I don't get the people that do it. Oh, I get some people that act like superheroes or they're saying stuff from a video game. But then you have people that are real deal, have their phone up doing NPC stuff as people are walking past them like in New York City and stuff. So what is wrong with
y'all? And the Spider-Man kid.
He's fine because he's copying stuff from a game. And I think I see some of his other content. He actually puts up other content. But some other people are like, just saying stupid stuff. Like, if you're saying something from a video game or a character, I get it. It ain't for me. I have better things to do in my day, but at the same time, they're making money off TikTok. I'm not.
Right.
You know. But after you left Comcast, is that when you got into project management?
Yes. So I started doing project management in the grand scheme of real estate. And that definitely helped me. I started out as like an admin personnel. And then I branched out when things were like moving fast paced and they realized that they needed to basically catch up with the time. Just like 2014 when Instagram started becoming a thing and hashtags were like everything, especially to generate more leads and followers and things like that. So by me knowing what I needed to do, because I was of age and I was like a part of the industry of social media, it was like, yeah, let's get this going. So I started doing that as like a junior project manager, helping them with their new location and their setup and redesign and rebrand. So that definitely was like, okay, how can I do this in other industries? So after that, then I branched off into logistics.
Never mind. What commercial is that when they talk about it's logistics? I forgot. What is it? I don't know, but that's what it reminded me of. So how was that transition going from the real estate industry into logistics? What was that like?
It was definitely a change. Once you're, especially in project management, when you're pigeonholed into an industry, they don't see you as being very multi, I want to say factorial for them, because they're just thinking you're only good in this one industry. But logistics and real estate can flow with each other, especially in regards to like transportation, contracts, communication, time zones. So when you think outside the box, it's easier to let them see your transferable skills. But I did, the easiest way for me is that I had to suck up the fact that I needed to do contract work. So that was my only, that was my only way in. It was like, okay, we'll give you a chance if you understand, like, you can only be on this for 6 months.
Got it. Got it. So now let's get into, I've seen this on some of your previous podcast episodes you've been on. And I guess I want to ask you, is like, how do you go from doing logistics for, I think, with a UPS, right?
Mm-hmm. UPS and UPS NFI.
And NFI. And now you jump from there and then you got into a main company. How did that happen?
Honestly, it happened by accident. And one of the recruiters reached out to me. If you're familiar with Randstad, they have a partnership mm-hmm. with them. They're like a long-term contract. And they just happened to, like the recruiter that I was speaking with, I wound up not getting a different role because by the time she found me, somebody also had already basically accepted the offer. So she was like, give me a few days, I'll find something else for you, which she wound up finding that position. And so it definitely happened by accident. But when the job was very much real, the big tech company was like, oh my gosh, like I hit my mark. And honestly, on their side, to get in, it really wasn't that much of a strenuous process. It was making sure my interview skills and my communication was on point, because that's what they needed. They needed someone with good communication skills and being able to handle a lot of onboarding processes really fast.
Yeah. And I briefly want to ask you, what is an onboarding specialist? And what do they...
An onboarding specialist is someone who is in charge of all the new hires that are coming in during that segment of the hiring season. And you're responsible from, it can be anything like sending out equipment, doing I-9s, making sure that they signed all their documents for background checks, fingerprints if needed, getting them set up with the employee logins. So it's like a wide range of things, but you have to basically make sure like their personal checklist is up to date. And let's say like drug screening needs to be done usually within 72 hours. So if they're already reaching 60 hours and they haven't scheduled an appointment, you got to call them or email them and say, hey, did you set up your appointment? Things like that. Because their process will get obviously delayed if they don't get that stuff done.
And the brief time you did that, how was that role?
It was fun. It was definitely fun. I think for me, I did the EMEA region, which is the South America and East Asia region. Mm-hmm. So to know how big this company actually is and like how many people that they're constantly hiring in the industries that I was responsible for onboarding was definitely like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did that contract come to an end, or they just had an abrupt stop, or they did layoffs? What happened with
it? It was literally a little bit of both. Every person got affected in some way. For me, the easiest way for me to summarize it is the last one in, first one out, because of the freezes and because the bigger portion was ready to do these layoffs, these hiring freezes. Who's there to onboard, basically? It was unfortunate, but I enjoyed my time that I did have with them, and I definitely would do it again.
Okay. And so let's talk about briefly in between the time from the layoff in the company, how was that experience, and about how many months went by before you decided to do what you are doing now?
Honestly, that was very heartbreaking, honestly, because the contract was supposed to be at least 2 years. To have it stop unexpectedly was like, okay, what am I going to do now? And like myself, anybody who knows me, I don't have a problem ever getting a job. So to me, I was like, I want to say like unhumbled, but I was just like, okay, whatever. Unfortunately, this happened, but I'll apply. I'll find a position. Boom. And I had a lot of interviews and I was getting to second and third round. I don't know if because of that company that kind of made them scared to be like, okay, maybe she's going to leave us because she's reached her peak. But that wasn't going to be the case. Obviously, I didn't care who that what that company had. Obviously, I'm not with them anymore, so it doesn't matter. But I kept getting interview after interview. And then it was like, no offer. And I was like, we're going into August. And that we're going from June now into August. But I will say, which helped the gap, was once I announced on LinkedIn that I had taken on this role at the tech company, my LinkedIn blew up. I went from, I want to say, maybe 150 followers or connections at the time. I don't even know if followers really was a thing yet, but like on my side, because I was in creator mode, but I'll just say 150 connections to 1,000 within 2 days. So people were like DMing me, messaging me under my picture, post and saying, what did your resume look like? How did you get in? Can you help me get in? Things like that. So I had things to occupy my time and help them. And I was like, and the feedback that I was getting was like, okay, wow, can you do this? Can you like help my resume? Can you fix it? And I was like, okay. And I was just doing it just because I wasn't even thinking about actually making it like a long-term thing. And then by August, I was like, when I wasn't getting like any offers, I was like, let's see how often can we, like how far can we take this resume business? And one of my first clients, she made a TikTok, which I actually didn't even know until 6 months later, because she just made this TikTok. I didn't ask her to do or anything, which got reposted. And then someone else had wound up sending it to me. And one of my friends had sent it to me. They had no idea. They thought I already seen it. And they sent it to me. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, why didn't you tell me you made this TikTok? And it wound up blowing up and getting like thousands of likes and views. And she was like, you really need to like tap into this. So I just started speaking more about it, doing a little bit more lives. And then next thing you know, I was like, okay, let's venture off. And at that time, it was just Erica's resume workshop. It really wasn't anything serious. It was just like a little side gig. But I kept getting more positive feedback and thank yous. And okay, this really makes sense, because I was like breaking it down instead of me just saying your resume needs this. It was like I was like physically like printing out the resume off my printer, circling, making notes, and I would like scan it back to them so they could see it. And they were like, oh, this makes sense. This makes sense why in my interviews I say one thing, but my resume says something else, and I'm getting this like clashing, or why I'm not getting offers.
Yeah, that's a lot. I know. Yeah. For me, it wasn't as similar. I just decided to do it mm-hmm. because I had always been helping people. And two, I started thinking it was 2020 when I started doing like everything from this to the company and everything. I was like, my first child was on the way. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do to just try to add some more stuff in my life? Because now I got to, I don't want to look at like my child as an expense, but we know kids can be pricey.
Expensive. Yeah. So I was like, something.
When it's just you, like when it's just me, it doesn't matter. I'm good. I can eat some noodles or whatever I got to do. But you got a kid.
Survivor mode.
You want them to be taken care of and given the best that you can give them. So that's mm-hmm. kind of how I started. And before I charged for anything, I helped a lot of people just for free and just said, hey, just give me recommendations after I do this. And that's how it was. I remember I was looking through my photos, and I might put it right here. I don't know. But I was looking at what I used to charge for resumes, because I think,
oh my gosh, don't even
but
go backwards.
The thing is, though, I think a lot of people appreciated that, because like pretty much outside of my professional career being in IT and cyber, I didn't have mm-hmm. any type of notoriety for doing resumes. So it's like a lot of times people will translate, oh, well, I'm already doing this in my career, so I'm finna charge you X amount for your resume. And sometimes right. that don't translate over well. Whereas at least you can mm-hmm. build it up and just start people. The more and more people you help, you didn't say, hey, I've helped people on average get X amount of increase. So if you right. get this resume, at least you're going to interview for roles that may be paying you double than what you already get paid now.
Exactly. You'll definitely make that back.
Yeah. And so once they start.
And that's why.
No, go ahead.
For me, I definitely have switched. Instead of just saying my services cost this amount, you're investing in this service. And once people realize it's more of an investment versus just a price that I just pulled out of thin air, they appreciate it more, because they're getting so much more to the overall package.
Yeah, definitely. And that's also why from the jump, I always charge for consultations. It was a way of me knowing, hey, if I do this for free, they're not going to respect my time or theirs. But if they pay, I don't care if it's $15. I think my thing started off like 30 bucks or whatever. But they came, they were ready. They spent money. And so they showed up.
Because
you'll see a lot
of honestly.
Go ahead.
I'm still in between that because I've charged for consultations. I've paid people for consultations. And then I've also had people who have a grand following and they have free consultations. So then I switched to free consultations because I'm like, for me, I felt like I'm already going to charge you for the service anyway. And if you decide to take it a step further to get the service, then at least you're not feeling like double charged or have to do the math of, okay, I paid for the consultation. And if they do decide to move forward on that call and say, okay, send me the invoice for the the resume services. For me, I felt I would just minimize my time. So instead of me doing a 30-minute consultation for $50, now I'm just going to do a 15-minute free consultation. And if it goes over, okay, cool. Then I know that you're really serious and you're definitely like on go to buy my services. But if I charge you for the 30 minutes, then you're like, okay, I'll think about it. Now you're already just paid, whether it was yesterday or a week ago, whenever you booked the appointment. Now you decide to move forward and you're like, you feel like, dang, I got to pay again. So I try to see it from both sides because I don't mind giving. I'm getting out free content anyway from Instagram, TikTok.
So that's the thing for me.
Going on live.
If I wasn't as much content as I have out here for free, if that wasn't the case, then I probably would do that. But they got so much free content for me. My ebook is for free. My webinar is free. So it's like when you're calling me, it's a little bit more personal. And for example, during the daytime, I work in the evening. So if I'm doing something with you before work, then it's taken away from me being in there with the kids or doing something. So it's one of those things that I look at as far as like the time aspect of it. And people value it because like, okay, think about it. We know people, when I went up on my prices, I went and Googled what are average career coaches charging. And I put it in the email so people could see you've been getting a grand deal this whole time. There are people that charge $100, $200, $300 just for an hour and a half of their time. So I don't feel like that because sometimes the people with the big followings, they're doing so, but they on the back end, their services may be much higher. So it can make sense for them to give away for free if they know that what they charge is going to be $1,000, $1,500. Then hey, cool, that works for them. But for me, and I do this too because everybody doesn't really need. They don't need the coaching part. Some of them don't have enough skills yet. So I don't like to waste my time or theirs. Like that.
Right.
But so what all do you offer at Resume Bay? What all do you offer outside of just resumes?
We as officially in September, I have transitioned into Coach Bay University. I know that my shirt still says Resume Bay. I need to get some more logo printed up, but we are officially Coach Bay University and I offer 3 tiers, which is a 30-day, 60-day, or 90-day course of hands-on resume, LinkedIn, interview prep, job search, job tracking, and 4 coaching sessions. So with that, let me actually just take a step back. So with Coach Bay University, ideally it is for people who are mid-level employees, for people who are working in their career for at least 5-7 years at minimum. Right? These are people who feel very stagnant, haven't had a promotion, been probably doing your job, their job, everybody's job for their one person's pay, right? And doesn't feel or can't figure out why there's no growth, why opportunities aren't coming to them. So I specialize in basically rebranding outside of the resume. If you follow me on social media, all of my headlines say you are more than your resume, which is true. So with that, with my packages, the 30-day is more so for people who, let's say they're not ready to leave their company, but there's a position at their company that they want to apply for. Maybe it has come to them or they're really willing to take that risk and say, hey, I want to apply for this job. Can you help me? I have an interview 2-3 years. My resume, I don't even know where my resume is. So my job then is to basically rebrand them for what they are doing now, their skill set, help them with some interviewing prep, and get them in front of the hiring manager for that position at their current company, or at least a position that, let's say, they know a friend and they'll say, "Hey, girl, hey, guy, apply for my job. I'll help get you in, but you just need a resume. You need to brush up on your interview skills." That's more that 30-day course because you're not needing so much prepping because you're pretty much like halfway there. The 60-day, which is my most popular course, is for people that really need a little bit more, like a little hand-holding. Let's say they're still trying to figure out, they know what they want to do, but they need more than just one interview prep, or they need some more job opportunities presented to them. So that's more of the 60-day course. Take their time a little bit and be able to say, okay, I just needed a couple sessions to practice my interview skills, look at my resume, understand my resume, things like that. The 90-day course is for people who are doing a full transition. You're leaving one industry, jumping to the next, and you need to talk about transitional skills, upskill, whether you're currently still in a boot camp or finishing school, whatever, but you need more time to put everything together. That's like the complete package. So we do the interview prep, the resume from start to finish. We do your coaching calls. We do the job search. We do the job tracker, everything like that. So that's more of, Erica, I really need you to sit with me on a weekly basis, help me make sure that my transition makes sense.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I was going to ask you who is your ideal client, but you laid out your ideal client for all three tiers. I typically use Loom to record a bunch of videos that I know that they're going to need help with. And actually, I have something on my whiteboard over there that I need to do a Loom video on once I get to my work desk and pretty much talk to them about and help them with. Do you help your clients identify what roles may best fit their skill set?
Absolutely. My biggest thing now, which I feel like has definitely helped me stand out from other coaches and resume writers, but I haven't heard many people talk about, is skills. A lot of times people focus on just job titles and say they just, especially project management or customer success manager, those easy transitions. But it's okay, but what about it? What makes you a project manager? What skills are you bringing to the table? Do you know how to do budget analysis? Do you know how to talk to stakeholders? Do you know how to build a roadmap? Do you know how to build a scope and things like that? So building off a skill set has definitely helped my clients land roles, at least get interviews. I feel like once you get an interview, my job is definitely done on my part because the resume has gotten you to that part. It's your job to ace those interviews and get that offer. But for me, I feel like once they understand the skills that they have, everything else, it will make sense for them.
That's what I do. I reel them back in on what they've been seeing online and say, hey, your skills fit best with this. Let's look this way first. The job that you want could be like long term, but let's focus on what you can already do now, especially if you don't like what you're currently doing. And that's always been a good way for me to help them out instead of just trying to, because I tell them all the time, if I want to, yeah, I can do your resume and do this. And okay, cool. You're still going to be like, I'm not getting interviewed. I'm like, I made your resume look as good as it could with what you gave me, but your skills at a foundational level do not match up with this. And if they don't match up, you're not going to get picked no matter how good the resume looks that I did for you. And so that's something people don't understand.
I think the education behind it, and that's why it's unfortunate that resume writers get such a bad rep, because we get people who say, I've definitely had clients that say, oh, I haven't gotten any interviews. And I'm like, did you do the homework that I gave you? Once I started giving homework, because I know what needs to be done, but I wasn't really giving it to them. But once I started giving them homework, I tell you, every client will definitely say, yes, that makes sense. And now they're able to apply for roles and get an interview following up because now they see why the resume is making sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like when people first get that first interview from the resume or hit ups, they're like, man, like I had a guy, I did his stuff. He's like, yo, you updated, like three people just reached out. Or one of my clients we were interviewing for roles. I think they're paying a minimum of 20 G's more to 30 and 40 G's more. And so it was like, once that started happening, I just had a client interview for a principal role, but he's not technically skill level. He's not supposed to be there, but the interview, the resume I did for him was good enough for him to get that interview. And I tell people all the time, y'all looking for the big splash. Y'all looking for the Steph Curry three. But the small wins of you just getting the interview when you previously were not getting interviews is what you need to build off of. And exactly. So how do you deal with the clients that don't do their homework, right? You reach out to them. Like for me, my thing is, it's not because of how I got all these different things going on. It's the reason why I use Loom so much. So it's not set up like, hey, we're going to meet these times. It's we're going to meet here, but you had the Calendly link to where anytime you want to meet, we can meet, or I can call you, whatever. Yeah. We can meet whenever. However, sometimes there are the ones that I pretty much know who's going to be successful.
Right away.
The ones you who was really pressing me and saying, hey, you. I did this. I talked to this person. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. They're going to be all right. It may take them a short amount of time or a long time, but they're going to be eventually okay. The ones that I have to constantly follow up on and see what's going on with them.
Ghost on you.
There's some of the ones that have other stuff going on that tend to not be as successful in the beginning. Like I think I have a client right now. And I think it's just a lot when people are really working on those pivots, trying to go into something a little bit more technical or not technical, and they're not hearing anything back. I have a client, she was saying, I don't know how much of a cut that she watches, but she was saying that a lot of stuff like the applying and everything was making her anxious. And I was just trying to work with her, say, we can't do 5 to 10 a week. Let's do 1 to 3, or let's just try to apply to what we apply to once we see what something that aligns with us and just apply. The worst thing they could do is say no. I'm really big on the job search or the networking of, hey, conferences, whether it's virtual or in person, I prefer in person. It's just a little bit better. You got to open yourself up. It's been harder and harder to get jobs now. So having that good network really helps you out now.
Yes, I'm definitely an advocate for network. But to answer the question about the homework, I make them accountable for everything. As long as I'm doing my part. Now, if I was to forget a segment or forget a week or whatever, of course, that's definitely on me. But for the times where I know I'm on it, especially when my things are on automation and I do the weekly check-ins, I'm like, hey, the more aggressive that you are with your homework, the better results you're going to get. I can't go hard for you if you're not going hard for yourself. That's what I've been, my little tagline at the end of my post on LinkedIn, because it does make sense. Why am I going so hard for you? Because then at the end of the day, you're going to be like, I spent $2,000 over a course of 2 months, and you're going to feel like I pretty much ripped you off when I didn't, because you didn't do the homework. But when you do the homework, you're going to see the results and you're like, oh, wow. Like when you get the results that you want, money would never usually be an objective, because you see the value coming back to you. But when you don't do it, then that's when that bad rep comes around and you're feeling like it was a money grab instead of being really thoughtful and cared about. But people know. They know. And I even started doing like assessments too, like a real application process before you even join my program. Because I really want to know like where your headspace is. Yeah. I'm all for like mental health and advocacy around that, because I have anxiety all the time. But I also don't allow that to affect me so bad that I'm forgetting like about life in general. So I try to let them know, hey, how many, you get up to 10 coaching sessions with me within 2 weeks. So either 1 in the morning, 1 at night, like you have 10 opportunities to like
one in the morning or 1 in the morning.
No, 1 session in the morning.
Okay, I'm about to
and
say.
One session.
I was like, oh, no. You real flexible.
1 session in the morning and 1 session at night. And of course, even if you can't make both, but because in the morning, I like to give an itinerary to say, okay, this is like 8 a.m. Here's what I want you to do. Check it. You don't even have to like FaceTime me or video chat or whatever, but just check it with me by 8 o'clock to say, okay, I did do this homework. So if you're not showing any type of like consistency with that, then I know like it's going to be like a tug of war. So I let them know in an assessment, like how many coaching sessions or check-ins do you need and how many will you actually attend? So I provide two different questions of like, how many do you need? Because maybe I need to up the time that I spend with you, but also how many times are you going to actually attend these meetings? Because people are working crazy schedules, they got kids and things like that. So I get it. But you still know, like you said, the ones who really will put in the work.
Exactly. So we touched on this already, but I'll ask you this. Maybe you can answer it a different way. What have you learned about job seekers and people while running your company right now?
That people pretty much are doing it the wrong way, and that's why they are stuck in this hamster wheel.
Yeah, I would.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, have unrealistic expectations. No shade, but a little shade, because if, like, for me, like, I didn't go from working at Comcast making $15 an hour to being a project manager making $62,000 a year. Those were things that happened in the middle to help build up my skill set. But people, they come to me, they work, I want to say a minimum wage job, they work a job under at least 50K or around 50K. And they're like, oh, I'm only applying for roles that's 80K, 100K. I want to jump in tech to make it 100K. It's okay. I hear you, but do you hear you? Because something, what are you bringing? Why are you worth this 100K? You have no certs, you have no degrees, you have no certifications that's allowing this. What are we doing here? So I would definitely say that is that hurdle, because they see these gurus and these brand marketing people that are now making 100K. They're like, I want to be like them. It's, no, I want you to be like you and understand what you bring to the table. And if that opportunity presents itself, then okay. But let's take baby steps and be realistic, because 0 out of 10 do not recommend.
Definitely. I know. It's just
all you could do is just breathe in a mic.
Yeah. Because my clients watch enough of my content where I don't really get a lot of those. They know me. So a lot of them say, I seen you from shorts, LinkedIn.
Right.
I don't have a lot of people that come to me with those unrealistic expectations, because they know me. And I, like, listen, hey, I'll just be honest with you. Now, you go to somebody else that a lot of you and take your money, but I'm just going to tell you, you don't have the skill set for what you're trying to do yet. I've told people that. And sometimes you got to be honest with them.
That truth does hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I say, hey, you need to work on this and this. A lot of people say, oh, I want to get on Blue Team. I want to be a SOC analyst. All right, here, answer these questions that I got on my page for SOC analysts. Let's see how good you do. And most of the time, they don't do good because they don't know anything. And it's okay. Nobody started off knowing stuff. So that's why people need to just slow their roll. They're so busy looking at the people who made it, they don't know what they did to get there. All they see is the finished product. Most of the people that make obscene amounts of money from technical roles in tech put a lot of work in. It wasn't something they just looked into. I'm telling you that to be honest. Now, some of the other roles that are a little bit non-technical, they have a higher ceiling, like a tech sales or a sales engineer. They work hard too, but they're only a certain there are only a certain amount of them that's actually like really up there making the bread, and they're putting in a lot of work.
Yes.
They're not bare minimum workers. So a lot of you guys think you're just going to get in there and just do the bare minimum and be like them because you saw them on YouTube or whatever. I'm like, I'm here to tell you, no, like, you got to be really putting the work in. Like, everybody, think about it. The only person that was close enough to Mike was Kobe, because Kobe put the work in.
Right.
But you can either be Kobe or you can be James
Mamba
Harden.
Mamba mentality.
Right. You can be Kobe or you can be James Harden. That's what you could do. Real quick, though. Let's talk about resumes, do's and don'ts. And it's funny because had I prepared this how I wanted to, we actually would have had some John Doe resumes to go through and just talk about them right now. And that's something I think you and Tierra can do one day on live. I think that'd be pretty fun. But what are some do's and don'ts that you've seen on resumes?
The main one that cracks me up is, why are y'all putting your address on the resume?
Right.
Why? I literally want to know.
I'll tell you why, because I made a post about that too on TikTok. Like, hey, take the address off the resume. We're not mailing them in no more. But you got to think about it. Even 10 years ago in college, they had us put addresses on there.
Yeah. No. Stop with the addresses. And also, I had someone provide, and this is outside of resumes, but it's still like with cover letters. She had a 5-page cover letter. What are you possibly talking about? I'm so serious. Like, my DMs and my emails
Boy, ain't no way, boy.
5-page cover letter.
Boy, ain't no way.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy.
Do's and don'ts. Do a resume. Oh, no,
I'm surprised you didn't touch on this.
What?
Saying I. On a resume.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Please don't say I. Don't say I am a proficient, I am a dedicated, I am a hardworking.
Take all them things off.
You can prove that out
in the interview. You don't got to tell them about you hardworking, troubleshooting, collaboration skills.
Or aspiring. Don't say aspiring. Right. Also, don't say seeking opportunities in your resume summary.
Actually,
there's so many. I can go on.
It's not even a hot take no more, but we don't even use summaries anymore. If you got a lot of experience, I give you a career objectives thing where you, I mean, career highlights, where we can talk about highlights related to the role or roles you apply to. But summaries are like a waste of time for people who don't have a lot of experience. Let's have more projects on there. Also, here's something I can tell you guys too. Some of you are trying to pivot and you decide to put some of the skills that you see on job applications in the technical skill portion, but none of the jobs that you did had those same skills in them. Yeah, they're going to.
You can't even speak to them.
It's going to be a no for me.
You literally can't even speak to it.
So
yeah, stop putting just things that you hear on your resume. And then when I ask you, oh, how do you use Trello? How do you make a Trello board? You're like, oh, I just did that in class a little bit. I don't really know. No, this is why you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. If you can't quiz your own self on your resume, then that's why your resume is not getting you anywhere. And they know. Mm-hmm. You think we know? The TA and the hiring managers, they know when your resume may be like so grand and you start speaking and trying to sound and catch yourself up and you're like, yeah, this is not a match. They can definitely tell.
Yeah. Another one is, hey, stop listening to TikTok. Do not get the job description and throw it in all white on the resume. It's not going to help you. I promise you it's not. Trying to make it as, I'm going to put it in small font. It's going to work for ATS. No. A human is still going to look at your resume.
Let's talk about ATS.
A human is still going to deny you.
I don't know what's up with this whole ATS. I don't know. It's as soon as when people say, yeah, this resume, go through the ATS system. What do you think that means? Because as soon as that means you heard it from somebody else. When you start questioning me about the ATS system, what do you think it is? Because don't question my resumes. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, it's not that. They just been told, oh, it's going to be ATS friendly. Listen, fam, the stuff on your resume don't align with the job. That's why it's not working. It ain't really got the format could be as good as possible. But if what's on there is not speaking to the job, they saying no. It happens to everybody. It's okay. You're not going
to
strike out every time.
You're not.
Also, y'all need to stop having super long bullet points in the thing and just get to the point. Use action verbs to start the sentences. Also, have more projects if you don't have the experience. It's a lot of different things people do. Like she said, don't just throw skills up there that you can't talk about, because when I ask you about them, you don't know. I remember I had a girl one time. I don't know how she got a free. She ended up getting a free consultation out of me. I don't know how, if my accounting link was broken. This 3 years ago. And she knew how to use a sim. I said, do you even know what this is? No, I don't know what it is. I was like, so why you got on your resume if you don't know what it is? Like, her whole resume was fabricated. I had really got pissed off. Like, quick. I was hot. I was like, one, you got me for a free session. Two, you came on this call with some bull. Or as Coach Prime say, some bull junk.
Yeah.
Like,
people just need to understand the realities. What's for them will be for them, and what's not is not. So
I agree.
That's my piece.
Okay. So do you have any networking tips for the listeners?
Yes. Don't be afraid to network. That's the biggest thing. And don't, with people, this is for anyone who's currently in a boot camp, some type of cohort of such. Stop just connecting with the people in your group and start connecting with people that are already doing what you want to do. Those people that you are basically like your classmates or team members or whoever, all are in the same situation. They're not going to be able to be only but so much beneficial than you. Not to say that they can't help, but if you are only connecting with people in your group or people that's only in your program, then when it comes to finding jobs, you don't think they're going to start gatekeeping. They're not going to, you guys are all going to be in competition. Start connecting with people who are already doing the job that you want to do. For me, I know that I want to take CBU to the next level, right? So I'm going to start connecting with people who already have been doing resumes 5, 10 plus years and already have a name for themselves that's representing. I'm not going to just network with entry level people that's like on my same space. That's not going to get me to my long-term goal. So start thinking outside the box and don't put so much pressure on saying hello. That's literally all it takes. Asking a simple question. And it's, you don't just have to network with gurus or people who have so much more knowledge. It's just connecting with people that can help guide you. And just, if you want to work at Cisco, that means connect with someone who's maybe been there 2 years or find someone that's been there 10 years and get their point of view on how they got in, things like that. Don't just message the recruiter. Start thinking outside the box of how to get ahead in your industry, because a cold applying is pretty much a thing of the past, honestly. If you're still cold applying and hoping for the best, sorry, not sorry, that's only going to get you but so far, especially when you want to get more advanced roles. People, especially people of color, we like to bring our people with us. So if you start finding people that's doing a thing, they definitely going to bring you on board. So that definitely is my advice for networking.
Cool. So before we come to a close, guys, and we probably will do a part two. Like I said, we'll probably do a live part two. And it'll be, I'll give you a chance to send y'all resumes in and we'll have some fun. But before we get out of here, do you have anything that you want to leave the listeners with?
I would say take your time if you can. If you are still employed, take that time to really focus on what you want to do. If you, whether you hate your job or not, having a job right now is a blessing. Whether you feel like your manager hates you or you hate your manager or whatever the case may be, having a job right now is the best thing in this time, right? So if you know that you want to leave, that it's time for you to pivot and do bigger things, use the company for their educational resources, networking resources, whatever you can get until you can leave. That's definitely my advice, because once you're unemployed and when you have no other option but to go hard, your frustration will show, your anger will show, your anxiety is going to shoot through the damn roof. You're going to feel like no one is here to help you. And especially when you're looking for like a resume writer, career coach, you're going to feel like they only want your money. You're going to get very defensive. So definitely take your time, enjoy your job while you can, use that time, use that company to get ahead.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all that. It's, hey, like I said, also just keep your head on the swivel and don't just put your trust so much in the company, because at the end of the day, it's business for them ones and zeros. They want to make sure they're profitable. And we know one of the most expensive things businesses have to account for is payroll. So they're going to try to lower that amount and stay as efficient as possible anytime they can. And that's, I just got to be honest with you right there. But if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a comment below. Or if there's some things that you guys want us to cover next time, leave us a comment. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, please leave us a comment, leave us a review. Really helps the podcast out with the downloads. Also, before we get out of here, Erica, how can they stay connected with you?
You guys can follow me on TikTok at Resume Bay, IG at Resume Bay Uni, and LinkedIn under Erica Thomas. Erica with a K.
Yeah, I should have told y'all that in the beginning. It's Erica with a K. And y'all already know how y'all can stay in contact with me. Also, check out the footnotes. Check out the links in the description of this episode, especially if you want to keep your information safe and make sure no data brokers have gotten your information on the dark web. Check out my link that will be pinned in the comment to Aura. You get a free 14-day trial and you can protect you and your whole family from all this identity stuff that you see with all these breaches, and you just want to be safe. But until next time, let's stay textual. It's YHD, and we out.
Bye.